extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, presented by AT&T 5G. I am Andrew Wiebe, and we have an extra special episode for you on this Thursday. MLS Next Pro kicks off on Friday with St. Louis City 2 hosting Rochester New York FC at Herman Stadium in St. Louis. You can watch 8 p.m. Eastern on MLSNextPro.com. Taylor Twellman has the call alongside Steve Cangelosi, Poppy Miller, and Susanna Ann Collins on site as well to provide coverage. It's going to be the debut of a league that's going to play a big role in player development and beyond in this country over the next year and many, many more to come. Decades and decades, I think, is the hope here. We have interviews coming up on this show with the president of MLS Next Pro, Charles Olchek, to talk about the future of the league, the growth behind it, independent clubs, how many could be joining, and what the vision is in year one for MLS Next Pro. And we will also talk to Ali Curtis, who's heading up the sporting side. Two interviews for you. Enjoy. Any questions you have, you know how to get at us. 401-206-0MLS, extratime at MLSsoccer.com, or at extratime on Twitter. Without further ado, let's learn more about MLS Next Pro. All right, let's talk to Ali Curtis, SVP of Competition and Operations at MLS Next Pro. It's an AT&T 5G call to the field to New York, my old stomping grounds. Ali, it's good to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Always good having a conversation with you, man.
Let's start with sort of the under-the-radar part. And it snuck up on me, and if it snuck up on me, I'm sure it snuck up on a lot of MLS fans and soccer fans in North America. We're match day minus two on this Wednesday that we're recording. Show comes out Thursday. But the first game for MLS Next Pro goes down in St. Louis on Friday. They're going to face Rochester New York FC. That's coming up quick. And for me, if that's jumping up quick, I assume that you've just been grinding for months now to get us to this point, to have a new league that's ready to roll. How have the last, oh, I don't know, 5-6 months of your life been?
Well, the last 5-6 months have been super busy. You know, I left Toronto and then came back down to the New York metropolitan area where my family had been for the last 7-8 months. And that part of it has been fantastic. And then really joined the league office here in New York, or rejoined the league office the beginning of December. And so the last three and a half months have been busy, you know, just trying to get everything in line, get everything in order, you know, reconnect with new faces, and then also just hiring and just all things related to trying to help be part of building this league. But it's been a lot of hard work, but it's been really exciting. You know, I think that we have an opportunity and a responsibility to help evolve the game, and that's what we're doing. So I'm excited about Friday, but it's not just about Friday. We've got, you know, games on Saturday, games on Sunday, and then also, you know, it's about the future as well.
So, of course, I was been here long enough to know you when you were at the league office, and of course, Red Bulls in Toronto, and now back. Why this job? What about this job was interesting to you from sort of an intellectual, professional standpoint?
Well, I think that I think there's tons of reasons why you want to be part of or to seize an opportunity. I think from a personal perspective, you know, my family had moved back from Toronto, back to our old house in the New York metropolitan area, you know, around the middle of last year in the summer, around July. And so kind of, you know, and I was kind of going back and forth between Toronto and New York, and that was difficult. So I think from a personal standpoint, this is great, you know, a really great opportunity for me to reconnect and to be part of their lives. And that's exciting. You know, from a professional perspective, it's a new league. There's a lot of white space there. And I really think that this league has the opportunity to transform the game in globally, not just in terms of what's happening in Next Pro or what's happening in different leagues, you know, in the U.S. and Canada, and have an impact there. But I think it's got an opportunity to have an impact globally in terms of how we operate, how we pull together the different pillars of our league, which is player development and innovation and local communities and DE&I. I think that that's exciting. You know, when you look at, you know, the coaches that we have and you look at and I think through some of the things that we want to do with the league, there's a lot of opportunity. It's very exciting. I get an opportunity to pull together a lot of the various experiences that I've had in my life and in my career and try to put all that energy into Next Pro. And it's not just about Friday or this weekend, but it's about, you know, what we're doing leading up to the World Cup. And then, you know, what we want the game to look like in 10, 15 and 20 years. So, it's an incredible opportunity, that I truly believe will help transform the game. I'm happy to be a part of it. There's a ton of good people that are working here at the league office, but I'm also excited to engage and use the experiences that I've had working at the club, knowing the speed at which the clubs work in their local communities and bringing that to the league office and really doing everything I can to not just support the league, but support the game.
Help people and me here understand exactly what your job is in this sense. What's the day-to-day? What have you been asked to build? You know, what's your biggest challenge? What's going on as far as the nitty gritty of this?
I think that whenever you, I think whenever you start something new, it's important that nobody has one job. You know, it's important that you work collaboratively with everyone. Whenever you're starting something new and it's from the ground up and you roll your sleeves up and it's very blue collar. And at the same time, it's still very intellectually challenging and analytical. You know, sometimes you've got to make photocopies and answer the phones. And then sometimes you're in, you know, big meetings thinking about strategic initiatives and programs. And it's, you know, the approach is no different than the approach that I've had with any opportunity, you know, over the last 10, 15 years is you come in early, you leave late, you work hard, you collaborate with people, you communicate with people as clear and as best as you can. You try to create an atmosphere and a culture where people are excited to work, where they work hard, where they try to evolve and push things. And that's exciting. I mean, you know, and just in terms of, you know, the details, it's, you know, ensuring that we've got, you know, we've got players and coaches and referees that are going to be ready to go on opening weekend. And then it's also, hey, what are we doing with international competition? Are we going to integrate that within our league? Are we going to have two conferences, three conferences, you know, three divisions, four divisions? We ended up, we'll have, you know, two conferences with four divisions. Are we drafting roster rules and competition and operations guidelines? What are we doing with our medical manual? You know, how do we view safety and security and not just building out those policies and those procedures, but also hiring staff to support, you know, to support that aspect of the league. So it's a ton of different things that we're working on. But I think that, I mentioned earlier, it's really having clarity on what our pillars are that can help guide our decisions and then just doing the best we can to execute. And, you know, we know we've got a launch, but like I said, you know, I think everything that we do, it's important that we look at things through a lens of what the game will look like, you know, leading up to the World Cup and then what we want the game and what we want things to look like, you know, 15, 10, 20, 25 years from now. I was mentioning on a call earlier, you know, a couple of years ago, MLS, you know, we had a 25-year anniversary. And so it's all about now in terms of MLS Next Pro and leading up to the World Cup. And this is our opportunity. And, you know, MLS Next evolved from the DA a few years ago. And now we have Next Pro and so on and so forth. There's different, you know, rules and regulations. But really, what do we want this game to look like, you know, in 10, 15, 20, 25 years? And that's not just players, but that's coaches, that's tactics, that's people on the business staff. It's how do we operate? How do we create, you know, different processes where we have the right people that are sitting around the right table that are having conversations? How are we creating committees and things like that? How are we incorporating DE&I so it's not just a silo, but it really is a part of everything that we do? So there's just a ton of work. It's hard to describe in one conversation, but it's all good.
Let me get the soccer side from you. And I've wondered this just aloud and in public a lot and in conversations and group threads. Like, what will this league be like on the field? What have the roster rules you've created? What is the strategy the teams get to implement here? How does that go into what we will actually see on the field, whether it be in those game of the week on MLSNextPro.com where you can watch all the other games? What do you think this soccer product is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, you can watch all the games on MLSNextPro.com. We're in year one, so it's a start. But, you know, there are reference points. You know, there's, you know, my first homegrown signing was Tyler Adams when I signed to Red Bull 2 in 2015. There are other reference points around the league where players have signed contracts and then gone off to either play with their first team or play in different leagues around the world. And so that's exciting. You know, I also, you know, one of my other first homegrown signings was Aaron Long. So there's a number of different types of players that you'll see within the league. You know, all of it will be changing and it will evolve. You know, we're excited about the fact that there will be, we've been able to integrate some academy players as well. So I think you're going to see some young up and coming players. And at the same time, that will be balanced out by having some veteran players who are trying to, you know, find their universe and really find their footing. We're excited about that. Just in terms of, we've implemented some new rules, but, you know, really we want to, at least in year one, start from having a really strong base. You know, you've got the one concept, which has an element of player development to it, but it also has an element of innovation. You know, we've got, you know, if a game ends in a tie, you go to a traditional penalty kick shootout. We call it PK, penalty kicks from the mark. I think that'll be exciting for fans, you know, just from that aspect. You know, everyone loves to watch a good shootout. And then when you think about what's been happening in Champions League and then also what's happened in previous World Cups, you know, maybe there's a player development. There is a player development component to that as well. It's really hard to really get proficient at penalty kicks on the training ground. You know, some of the, you know, that aspect of the game, I honestly truly believe you really get that going through reps in real situations where you're under stress, where you're under pressure, and you've got to execute. So, I think, you know, and then when you look at MLS, you look at the last 3 years, it's really been about a quarter of the games have resulted in ties. So, you know, if the data is right, you're going to see a number of that through 252 regular season games.
Let's get in some nitty gritty here. I see somebody like Jose Riasco coming to the Philadelphia Union, and he's a highly rated young Venezuelan player, and it sounds like they've spent a decent amount on transfer fee for a guy like that. When I look at your roster rules right now, they're pared down compared to when I have to go through MLS's roster rules and try to understand who's building. You're intimately aware of how all these work. What do you think those roster rules are encouraging? And how does signing a player like Riasco fit into the bigger picture, which is that you figure the Union are signing him eventually to be a first-team player. So if you sign him for a fee and then he comes up, and in MLS you'd have to amortize that fee and it would go into salary cap considerations, how do the two leagues work together in that sense, I guess, is the bigger question.
Well, I think that it's important, you know, and when we're thinking about, you know, development, when we're thinking about you have a group of young players that will be part of this league. Yes, there'll be veteran players as well. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of diversity within MLS Next Pro from a tactics and from an approach perspective. There's going to be different different ownership groups. You know, and this year we've got 21 teams, 20 are MLS owned, one's independent, and moving forward that will change as well in terms of when you look at the ratio of MLS owned teams to independent teams. But there's some diversity and flexibility with how you're going to build your roster. You know, a lot of the rules in MLS are associated with compensation, with the salary budget. There's tons of different rules that have to deal with not just allocation and different rules that allow you to pay above the salary budget, whether that's the youth player slot or whether that's designated player rule and allocation. And we don't have that in Next Pro. You know, there's not a minimum salary or a maximum salary. It's really subject to what your local and federal laws are. So there's opportunity to be nimble and to be flexible with regard to, you know, how you want to build your roster, and each team can approach that differently, and whether or not they're looking at a highly domestic roster, or maybe they want to bring in, you know, a number of different international players. Of course, there are still some constraints as it pertains to international roster slots and those types of things. But I really think that, you know, the way things are built in this moment, it gives teams the opportunity to start developing players, to participating in the international transfer market in the way that they'd like. And, you know, the rules will change. This is year one. This is a start. This is a base. They'll evolve over time.
I've read a lot of the things that you've said since you were hired. I know it's just been a few months now, but I know that DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion is very important to you. And that's just not in terms of the players or the coaches or the executives, but the whole enterprise here. What role is DEI going to play in what you do in year one and beyond?
You know, diversity, equity, and inclusion is a pillar of our league. And, you know, we're excited about this league because, you know, a lot about what we're doing with this league, we're being part of the transformation of the game, but also trying to facilitate growth in terms of players and referees and coaches and business staff and administrators on the sporting side. And so that's exciting, you know, and we've had conversations with Shola and his group at the league office. We don't currently have a diversity policy in place, but we will enact one to be ready for next season. But we're coming from a really strong base in terms of, if you look at the 21 head coaches already, we've got a number of them are from underserved groups. A number of them have MLS experience. And so without anything formal in place, I think we're in a good way, and we're looking forward to, and we're excited about the future. You know, I mentioned about, you know, there's so many things that we can do with this league to be part of the growth of the game, especially as we think about, you know, the next 3.5-4 years before the World Cup comes to our home soil. But then also, I think that, you know, I've always had this mindset of, you know, when you, you know, when you, you know, when you're passionate about something and you are part of an opportunity to really, how can you grow it such that, you know, 20 to 25 years from now, we've changed the game. And I'm excited about that with Next Pro. And for sure, that's important as we think about diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, and it's not just about the players on the field or the coaches on the sidelines, but it's about the folks that are in other positions within kind of the soccer ecosystem. And then it's also about, you know, how we create you know, different protocols and processes with regard to decision making. How do we ensure that we have the right people at the table that have voices? You know, ensuring that we have, you know, different people from underserved groups in all ways that are part of the conversation, and in some cases, driving the conversation. And so that's exciting. You know, super, super excited about that, and looking forward to all the changes that we can be part of and that we can make with Next Pro now and moving forward.
Ali, in the coverage of this league and the launch and everything you guys are trying to do, I've heard the word innovation used a lot in all sorts of different aspects. But in terms of the competitive side and in terms of your job, what role do you think innovation is going to play?
So I mentioned a little bit of, you know, in the event of ties, you know, we're going to have a shootout, penalty kicks from the mark, and what that will mean. And I said that, you know, hey, there's a little aspect of that with regard to player development, and there's a little aspect of that to innovation. I think what we can do with this league is drive the game so much in terms of evolve the different rules with regard to what happens on the field and also what happens off the field. And so, you know, from an innovation perspective, I'm really excited. I'm excited to work with a lot of the different clubs around the league. You know, there's a number of different new rules that we're considering that will have impact both on the field and off the field. And I know it's year one, and we have to be measured about the implementation and the timing of all those things. But really looking forward, very, very excited about everything as it pertains to innovation and what we can do to implement new rules and evolve the game moving forward.
All right, let's learn a little bit more about MLS Next Pro. We're chatting with Charles Olczyk, the MLS Next Pro president, formerly the MLS senior vice president of league growth at the league office. Charles, what's up? It's AT&T 5G call to the field, and we are super glad to be chatting with you.
Great to be with you. Appreciate the time. Appreciate the opportunity. This is going to be fun.
So let's start with the basics about you. And we have the basics about the league, and everybody can go check those out. That's what we know. But I think some people don't know who Charles Olczyk is, at least the people that are going to be watching, following, caring about this. Give us the primer, man. Who are you?
Who am I? I'm a, you know, I don't know if I've ever been asked that question quite that way. I'm a New Yorker, but my connection to the game is through my mom. My mom's from France. She went to college here. That's how she met my dad. And I went to French school growing up here in the tri-state area. And so I only played soccer growing up. It's what we played in the schoolyard. I didn't play lacrosse or football. And I really fell in love with the sport through school, through going to school with all, you know, French kids. Most of them didn't even speak English, basically. And then visiting family in France and, the World Cup in 98 was a moment that I remember pretty vividly as a young person. I had posters of, Zidane and Vieira up in my room, Thierry Henry and others. And then played the game as a kid, got really serious with it in high school, and then had the opportunity to play in college, played at Harvard, had a great experience. And senior year, after going to the MLS Combine, realized that my path was going to be off the field. And I got a job, worked on Wall Street for a few years, and then figured out a way to get back into the sport. And I've been working for the league office since 2014 on many different projects, mostly around expansion, new teams, new stadiums, that kind of thing. And then had the opportunity to be part of this incredible opportunity with MLS Next Pro, which has been a great experience, and I'm really looking forward to the launch later this week.
So we'll talk about MLS Next Pro. I have to ask about 98. I read a bunch of stuff that you've done since you were announced and did the research. And I'm wondering, based on your family and your experiences, what was 98 for you? Because you're Santieri, Vieira, Zinedine Zidane. It was a good year for France. It was not as good for the U.S. How was it split for you during that 98 World Cup, and how did you experience that tournament?
Well, you always, let's start with, while I have a French passport, I always root for the USA. So that was a tough one. I was a young person, so I probably didn't understand, every aspect of it. But I wasn't in France for the World Cup. I was here watching with everybody else. But I would say that I remember vividly in 2002 getting up in the middle of the night with my teammates and watching games, early in the morning, middle of the night, and being part of that, excitement as a fan, watching Landon, and McBride and Claudio and all those guys, and I think that's when I started to really fall in love with, the sport in a whole different way. So now I get to be a part of it, and I get to give back in some ways, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
So your mom was a soccer person, your dad was not. You told Soccer America that your dad broke his ankle the first time he played with you, first and only. I need that family story. I need a little bit more meat on that bone. Maybe that's a bad analogy to make given what happened to your dad, but that's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I was probably, 10 or 11 at the time. I can't remember. I think it literally is the only time that my dad ever played with us. And my brother, who's a few years younger than I, were playing in the backyard. My dad, must have come home from work or whatever it was, and he started kicking it around with us. And I think he was roughhousing with us. And my little brother tried to trip him, and my dad jumped over his leg and landed on the ball. And his ankle snapped, And that was the last time he ever played with us. But you know, he was always supportive of what I was doing. And while he didn't have any advice for me on the field, he was always supportive of what I was doing off the field.
I can imagine why that would be the last time that you would give that a go if that was the end result. As someone who's had a lifetime of ankle problems, I feel for your dad in that sense. You mentioned after the 2007 combine, and I heard an anecdote about you, and I want to know if it's true that you asked some coaches on the plane back from that combine what they thought about your future, and they said you should probably think about a different profession. Is that true?
Yeah. Look, the story is probably, you know, the details around that story are probably for more suited for, you know, a conversation at the bar or whatever else. But, I was sitting in the back of the plane. A few of the coaches were sitting in the row in front of me. They'd had a couple of drinks. I think it had been a long week for everybody. It was hot and, you know, they'd been watching a lot of soccer, some, you know, some good, some less good. And I waited until we were about halfway through the flight, and I happened to know them because they were folks that I had, you know, known for years at that point. And I said, "What do you guys think I should do?" And they both started laughing and said, you should get a job off the field. And I thought that was good advice, so I took it.
So now we're at, and you have a long, you know, background with soccer, whether it be with the Mets. When people hear Mets, they think, oh, baseball, but it wasn't actually baseball for you in that side. But so much of your job has been around growth strategy in the soccer sphere. Explain to me what that means and how it relates to MLS Next Pro, because we're starting, you know, year one is year one, but year one is not going to be year two or three or five or 10 or 20 or wherever this league goes. So how do you think about growth strategy in your role as president of MLS Next Pro?
Yeah. So, you know, this is year one, and it's the first building block in what will be a really important part of our enterprise, of our ecosystem. You know, MLS Next Pro is going to serve as the link between all of the great things that are happening at the academy level and MLS Next, and then all the energy and excitement in Major League Soccer, and create that opportunity for players to now have a integrated pathway. But beyond just player development, which is one of our pillars, this is going to be an opportunity for us to continue to grow the game across the country. And a lot of the work that I've done over the last number of years has been around that and introducing soccer to new markets, to new fans, to new investors, with new stadiums and just incredible energy around what's been happening with this sport. And as we look ahead to 2026 and the opportunity that the World Cup is going to bring, we need to put ourselves in the best position possible to capture that opportunity across the country. And now we have a way to continue to grow the sport beyond just what we're doing in Major League Soccer. And we've been having great conversations around the country. Ollie Curtis and I have been traveling over the last number of months, meeting with groups that are interested in being part of MLS Next Pro. And they all have different reasons that they want to get involved. Some are already involved in professional sports and other sports. Some have experience in professional soccer. Some have decided that soccer is their way to give back to the community, and they want to be part of something really special. But if there's a common thread that has come out of all of our different discussions, is everybody is so excited about the World Cup coming in 2026, and everybody wants to be ready to capture that opportunity. And the onus is on us to create a league that gives folks the ability to do that. And what's going to be so exciting is you're going to have 30 or so MLS-owned teams, depending on, you know, where we net out over the next number of years. And then we have a very aggressive growth strategy around independent teams over the next, you know, number of years. And whether it's 10 independent teams, 20 independent teams, that the onus is going to be on us to create, you know, something that's attractive to those folks out there. But so far, the enthusiasm and the interest has been really energizing. And so we're looking forward to continuing those discussions around the country.
What do you think the role of independent teams is going to be in this league? Because right now it is an MLS 2, so to speak, league within Rochester. And Rochester is sort of the first to take that plunge. And, of course, they'll be a part of that first ever game on Friday. You can watch it at 8 p.m. Eastern. Going to have Taylor Twellman, Steve Cangelosi, Poppy Miller, Susanna Collins on that broadcast as part of the Game of the Week package. They're going to be those every single week. You can watch games at MLSNextPro.com. What are the role that those teams can play? How can they drive the league forward? Why is that an attractive thing for MLS to go attract others into this enterprise?
Well, there's a couple of different aspects to it. One we just talked about, and it's part of this effort to continue to grow the sport across the country, which couldn't be more important to everything we're doing, you know, across Major League Soccer and whether it's the league office, our teams, our academies, our community partners, our sponsors, et cetera. And then beyond that, we know that having independent teams from experience and from what we've seen and researched and studied and conversations we've had around the world, having independent teams competing in our league is so important from a player development perspective as well. They bring different strategies. They build their rosters differently. They're thinking about things differently than our teams are. So in some cases, they are focused on player development. In other cases, they're less focused on player development. And they're all going to come at it from a different perspective, playing in stadiums that are full of fans, energized, exciting, and create that environment that is so important to player development and everything that we're doing. And so when you put it all together, they're a critical piece of our strategy. And we're going to be spending a lot of time with Rochester. Obviously, they're our first team. We're really excited about what's happening with RNYFC. The Dworkins have been great to work with. They obviously, you know, they have a lot of experience with the Rhinos and then with their involvement with the Sacramento Kings over the last number of years. And then Jamie Vardy's involvement at the ownership level is critical to what they're doing, because he has, if anybody has perspective on what lower division soccer can provide as a platform for players and others, Jamie Vardy is the embodiment of that. You know, if you think about his career and where he came from and where he is now and what he's accomplished, I couldn't think of a more perfect owner to be part of that team and part of our league.
So it's a sellout crowd, reportedly, for St. Louis, and St. Louis City 2 is going to play their first game, and you know they're broadcasting it locally, and this is sort of the beginning for them in a march to MLS next year. I think about this from a developmental perspective, and it makes perfect sense. You're linking MLS Next to MLS Next Pro to MLS, and we've already seen all the benefits that that's paid for homegrown players and other players, whether it be out of the college system or otherwise, to make jumps into Major League Soccer. We're seeing young players from South America, Central America, and otherwise be signed into MLS Next Pro for this first season. I get all that. The fan side of things. In your mind, how are you best? What's the outreach to fans? What's the proposition to fans to say this is something that you really should care about?
I mean, for me, it's very straightforward. You're going to get to see the stars of today and tomorrow competing every weekend, trying to make it to the next level. And I think what you're going to see as well is we have several of our teams that are MLS-owned teams that are having conversations quietly at this point around where might be the best place for their MLS Next Pro team to be playing long-term. And it could be that they're staying in their, you know, local markets, whether it's playing in their MLS stadium or playing in a smaller venue, a secondary venue, many of our teams are going to test that strategy this year. Or it could be that they move their MLS Next Pro team to a secondary market, you know, that's in their, you know, call it their sphere of influence, and that they find the perfect partner, the perfect venue to have their MLS Next Pro competing long term, and activating a new fan base and being able to interact with new fans and bring the game closer to fans who may be, you know, a little farther away and not able to get to every MLS game. And so it's a combination of all of those things, and you know, playing in smaller stadiums, many of our teams are doing it this year. The game, you bring the game closer to the fans, and I think that's going to be really special. And many of the players that are playing in MLS Next Pro this year, whether they're MLS Next Pro contracted players, whether they're coming up from the academies, coming down from the first teams, they're coming out of those communities, which I think is really exciting as well. You know, I think back to I spent some time in Orlando as part of the MLS is Back tournament, and it had been some time for me since I'd been that close to the game. And when you get a little closer to the field and you can get a little closer to the players, you know, it really is a special experience. And I'm hoping that many of our fans get to experience that this year as part of what we're doing in MLS Next Pro.
What do you think success is, both on the sporting side, and that's naturally where, you know, as fans, we often sort of, that's where we focus, but also on the business side, because this isn't just a, you know, a sporting venture for MLS as well. There are business considerations as well. I mean, we're testing new technologies here. They're doing a lot of things within the league as far as innovation and DEI that are really important to what this league, as well as MLS Next Pro, look like in the future. For you, like, year one, what is success? Year five, what is success? Year 10, how does that change over time?
So look, you know, that's a great question. We have four pillars in MLS Next Pro. Player development is clearly important to everything we're doing, and it's part of the reason why we're launching this league. But beyond that, this is about our local communities. These players are coming from our local communities. We need these teams to be connected to their local communities and being a part of the fabric of the community in which they play and from which their fans come. This, you mentioned it, you said it, this is going to be our platform for innovation. We're going to be trying new technologies, new ideas, new rules on and off the field. And this is going to be a way for us to continue to evolve our beautiful game. And there are so many different things that we have wanted to try over the years in Major League Soccer, but for different reasons, you know, couldn't get across the line. This is now an opportunity for us to do that. But it's not just about innovation. Underpinning all that, our fourth pillar, and in many ways our most important pillar, is a true commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what I'm most excited about in many ways as it relates to MLS Next Pro is the opportunities it's going to create for those who want to break into the game at all levels. And it's not just players on the field. It's everything that's happening off the field on the technical side with our coaches, our technical staff, and on the business side, folks who are going to be selling tickets, selling sponsorship, interacting with fans, partners, etc. And then, you know, beyond that, around the game, groundskeepers, and everybody who is associated with our teams. The amount of job creation that's happening around MLS Next Pro is exciting. And as as I think about, I'm focused on, you know, having a great event in St. Louis on Friday. You mentioned a lot of the excitement that's happening there. It's going to be an awesome event. Their fans are going to come out in full force. You know, what a special experience it's going to be bringing high quality professional soccer back to St. Louis in advance of their launch into Major League Soccer in 2023. But as I think about Friday, this weekend, the rest of 2022 and beyond, you know, when I'm thinking a little bit longer term, when I'm, you know, a part of this, hopefully in 2026 and the World Cup is here, MLS Next Pro has brought soccer to new markets across the country, created new fans across the country, and provided opportunities for players and staff and coaches and technical staff and everybody else to be part of our beautiful game. And then beyond that, you know, I think in 5-year increments. So I'm focused on getting this weekend right, getting 2022 right, getting the next number of years right, leading into 2026, and then we'll take a step back and see where we are and figure out, you know, what we need to do to keep progressing and keep pushing on all fronts.
One of my favorite things about what the league looks like right now is that so many former players are a part of staffs and getting their start as coaches in MLX Next Pro, and just giving another platform for those guys to have professional experience in environments, by the way, they're comfortable with. You think of Sporting Kansas City, for instance, and having Ike and Benny in those positions. What do you think about that opportunity for players? Because I think that's something that a lot of people have raised their hand and said, hey, we're looking to stay involved. How do we stay involved? You did it in your way. They're doing it in their way. What does this change for current MLS players or those that have gotten out of the professional game and are looking to still contribute?
You know, it's SKC2, perfect example. And it comes full circle in some ways for me. Benny and I used to, he may not even know this, he and I used to play against each other back in the day in Westchester, New York. I was playing for the Larchmont Tornadoes, and he was playing for Scarsdale before he moved. Either it was to California or Brazil. Like, I think he moved to Brazil, and then he ended up going to college at UCLA. But it's a small world from that perspective. We've been doing a lot of work with Dr. Jamil Northcutt and our player engagement group here. We have a call we have a Zoom meeting with the MLS greats tomorrow just to reconnect with them and and give them a preview of what to look forward to with MLS Next Pro this season. And you're seeing it already with you know, I think it's 40% of the coaches in the class of 2022 are former MLS players. And that's not counting all the assistant coaches and everybody else that's working at the team level. But what a great platform for new, you know, for new opportunity and for, you know, that environment for former players to get involved at the professional level and cut their teeth and figure out what's the best path for them. You know, it's something that we're really focused on, really committed to. And I'm looking forward to engaging with the MLS grades and with all of our former players to figure out what's the best spot for them as MLS Next Pro grows over the coming years.
Is there a number, is there too many teams? Can we get to that point? Like if we're talking 20 additional independent teams down the line and, you know, fill in the year, whatever it is, 50 teams, how many conferences, is there any sense in your mind that something is too big, or does the league regionalize, or is that just sort of why this is such a valuable thing for MLS? Because really it is like your mind's eye. Where can this go? Let's see where we can take it. And once we get there, we can innovate and figure out where it needs to be.
I think it's a little bit of all of those things. But if you think about where we want to get to, scale allows us to be very creative around the schedule, around the competition format, around regionalizing the competition and creating efficiencies from all different perspectives, from a travel perspective, from a regional rivalry perspective. So, you know, sitting here today, the vision is to grow this league meaningfully over the next number of years. And as we grow, figure out the ways to, you know, be really strategic around how we're building it and how we're evolving it. And what's so, you know, exciting and daunting in some ways is that, you know, we've got this blank canvas and we can do with it what we think is best. Working with our teams, working with our independent teams over the next number of years, working with our owners to understand, you know, what the strategic imperatives are. But sitting here today, the idea is to grow this league meaningfully and to be really thoughtful about how we you know, evolve the competition. And speaking of competition, one of the aspects of it that we're really focused on, even for 2022, is layering in some international competition. So we've been having great conversations with some of our, you know, our friends from different leagues around the world to figure out what's possible for 2022 and beyond. And we certainly want to try and pull something off for this year so that we can give our players and our teams that critical international competition that we know is so important to player development and everything else that we're doing. So more to come on that front.
Who do you think that would be against? Is we talking like Liga MX second teams? Are we talking, you know, the second team of European teams that travel here over the summer to play friendlies? Give me an idea of what that could look like.
We're having conversations with you know, all of the above. And we have great relationships with the folks you just mentioned, and we, you know, we have relationships with every league around the world. So we're talking to all of them to figure out what makes the most sense for this season and then beyond. But I think there's a great opportunity ahead for us to create some really compelling competition that's dynamic, that is exciting, and that's really accretive to everything we're doing in MLS Next Pro.
Charles, I appreciate your time. I have one more question for you. And when you came into this league, you worked very closely and have worked very closely with Commissioner Garber. And now you're sort of this figurehead for a new league. I wonder what you took away from those years working with the commissioner and how that shapes the way you view this job, what success in this job is for you, and how you personally want to do it.
You know, I've been really fortunate over the last number of years to get to work with Commissioner Garber and Mark Abbott and Gary Stevenson and the whole executive team here. And there haven't been that many moments when I've been able to take a step back, but when I do, you know, it's pretty incredible the combined experience when you put it all together of the folks that I've gotten to work with. But if there's anything I've learned from working with the group and with Commissioner Garber and for Commissioner Garber is you always have to think multiple steps ahead. And every decision you make, you know, you have to be mindful of the impact that it has today and what it sets you up for in the future. So I have a tremendous sense of responsibility, a tremendous sense of gratitude for the opportunity that I've been given. And this is a, you know, this is an opportunity for me to give back to this sport that has given me so much. And I'm really looking forward to this weekend and to the adventure ahead.
St. Louis City 2 hosting Rochester New York FC at Herman Stadium on Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can watch all the games. Will be broadcast on MLSNextPro.com. So tune in for those. We'll see how year one goes, right? It's just year one. There's a lot of years ahead. Charles Halchek, the president of MLS Next Pro. We appreciate your time, Charles. Good luck, man.
Thanks, Andrew. I really appreciate it. See you soon.